So in today's podcast, I am going to be speaking about daydreaming and how daydreaming can either be inherently purposeful or destructive in nature. And I want you all to thank and clap our lovely Coven member for even bringing this forward to me, because I was thinking about ways in which I can speak about daydreaming and how to use daydreaming to your benefit, as I am a Pisces and I am a mystic, and I honestly can say much of my daydreams have been able to conjure itself into my reality with quickness and with precision. And it's because I understand and know how to use it from a scientific perspective, aka a neuroscience perspective, a psychology perspective, and a spiritual perspective. So today I'm going to be talking about all those essences, from the good, the bad, the ugly, and also the nature and usefulness that our bodies and species as humans have found to learn daydreaming to be inherently useful. So what is a daydream? So daydreaming is when our mind wanders from the attention and focus of doing something, of being present, and wanders into the default mode network, which is something I've talked about previously, and I'm going to bring it up again because this is the essence of daydreaming. The default mode network is what our brain tends to default into, hence default mode network. When our brain defaults here, our mind will wander. Our mind will go to whatever sequence of events, whatever substance that it contains in the mind for it to move towards. So daydreaming is basically when your mind is removing itself from the present focus that you're currently in, and it wanders to the relaxed state of your mind just wandering. It's just doing whatever the fuck that it wants to do. And with that being said, one can say that daydreaming is inherently involved with imagination and visualization. So when we think of daydreaming, we oftentimes are using our imagination to co-construct, whether consciously or unconsciously, and using that imagery as a means to focus on. And this focus is internally. This focus is for you. It's all about you. Hence why a lot of people like to daydream. Your daydreams are all about you. Even when you're focusing on the outside world in your daydream, you're in your body doing it. There are certain parts of your brain are involved in the process of daydreaming. In the process of daydreaming, the active parts of your brain, as I said before, is within the default mode network. And not only that, the medial prefrontal cortex is also activated when you are daydreaming. And this part of your brain is known to govern your attention, your inhibitory control, aka like the parts of your body that are constantly in motion, regardless of your consent, such as breathing, your heartbeat, all that stuff, your habit formation. So this part of your brain is known to be the most active when you are digesting information about your environment and how your environment is needing this action versus that action. So your brain is activated for you to digest information, for you to build better and firmer habits. Not only that, this part of your brain is useful towards formulating long-term memory. So when you're daydreaming and you're in this part of your brain, you tend to formulate a lot of your reality based upon this daydream, because the likelihood of this daydream being in your mind is because you already formed a long-term memory to begin with. So you're just solidifying it over and over and over again. A different part of your brain that's activated as well is your posterior cingulate cortex. Sorry, one thing about me and words, we don't collide, so you know the words are gonna be in the post. But basically, this part of your brain is known to affect your attention, and attention's particularly in where things are around you. So when you're daydreaming, you aren't 100% in reality. You aren't 100% focused because you can't do two things at once. That's one bylaw that we all go through as a human being. We can't think about two things at once. We can't do two things at once with the same conscious effort. We just cannot. So when you're daydreaming, you're likely not going to be focused on what is around you. Another thing that this part of the brain activates is our reward anticipation. Oftentimes, our brain does not know the difference between reality and fiction. Hence why when you daydream, your daydream can ultimately be a form of visualization, because your visualization is formulated towards you feeling it out. You're constantly feeling things in your daydream. You're constantly feeling things in life. Whether you're conscious or unconscious, you're always feeling something. So when you're consciously daydreaming, and what I mean by consciously daydreaming, I mean you are aware that you aren't 100% in reality, you are able to feel those things more consciously, versus when you're not consciously daydreaming, you're still feeling these things, but you're disconnected from it. It's almost an act of disassociation. And lastly, another area of the brain that is activated is the parietal cortex in particular. And the parietal cortex is a part of the brain that activates the sensations in your body, the somatic sensory information. So while you're daydreaming and you remember a specific trigger that happened to you, whether it's from your past or maybe the present, and like you're just like looking back at it and being like, oh, that just happened, and like you feel like certain tingly feelings, that's usually what's occurring in your brain. Your brain is activating a certain part of you, where when your emotion activates based upon a memory, your body's gonna feel that sensation. The reason why I feel the need to talk about daydreaming within the context of us understanding that daydreaming is using your imagination, and your imagination ultimately also can collide with visualization, because visualization is actually a conscious practice, versus your imagination is something that exists, is something that you can tune into. It's not a matter of unconscious versus conscious, but more so that this space exists for you to be in, versus visualization, which is again a conscious practice of you using your imagination. And then the parts of the brain that are activated for us to understand why we tend to feel disconnected in reality, around other people even, when we are daydreaming, and why that's the case. So with that being said as well, I want to talk about the different types of daydreams that we tend to go within our minds and how this affects us on a day-to-day basis. So the first daydream that we tend to go within is a positive, constructive daydream. And this type of daydream is known to be very upbeat, very happy. It's very optimistic. You tend to be in this space when you're anticipating something good happen, such as possibly a date. You felt like this person that you're about to see is the best person ever. You're having all the butterflies, all the emotions. You're just feeling all these happy things. So you tend to go into a daydream mind state where you're feeling happy, versus another type of daydream that we tend to go through as humans oftentimes is a guilty dysphoric daydream. And this type of daydream is usually when people are punishing themselves. They feel like they're a failure. They're just reviewing their past, or maybe comparing their past to their potential future, and giving their future self a guilty label. They're just anticipating the worst to happen through this daydream. Another type of daydream that isn't necessarily a daydream, but more so like a state of occurrence that people tend to be in when they're in the default mode network, which is they tend to experience poor attention control. they aren't necessarily consciously in a space where they're daydreaming, but more so they feel like they're just there. Like, literally just there. And this type of daydream is also connected to these four types of daydreams, which is escaping daydream, fantasy daydream, ruminating daydream, and visualization. So the escaping type of daydream is the type of daydream a person tends to be going through when they're out of frustration or feeling lost in the world. They're kind of just like, damn, I'm here, but I don't want to be here. So they just go into fantasy land. And going off of the concept of fantasy land, sometimes people daydream for the sake of them not literally being grounded. They're not here, but they're not necessarily escaping. Like, fantasies are essentially a form of escaping. However, a fantasy comes from the fact that somebody isn't realistic. A person isn't necessarily bound by the constraints of reality. And for that sake, they're just finding ways to daydream. Like, the contents of their daydream is oftentimes fantasy. It's not of the real contents of a human being. That's just basically what it is. The other type of daydream is a rumination type of daydream. And people tend to do this. Many people who are anxious actually tend to do this. Because it is a form of relieving themselves over things that they feel like they should be in control of. For instance, they will obsessively think about a certain issue, particularly of things of the past or maybe of contents of the future or what they believe is going to happen. And they'll go over it multitude of times, feeling as though this is the best way for them to control a situation. And lastly, visualization is ultimately a form of daydreaming by which a person will create a mental picture. And I say create because this is more conscious. Imagination, it just is. Visualization is you actually creating something and you're aware of the conscious effort in which you're putting. So visualization is ultimately when a person is going into meditation and they have a certain feeling about something, and they use that certain feeling to guide them towards either releasing this emotion or getting so deep into the emotion that they know exactly why they feel it, exactly why it's there, for them to then release it or then for them to hone into it. Whatever purpose that emotion serves, they use the visualization to amplify it or release it. I also now want to talk about the fact that all of what I said above isn't inherently negative. However, there is a disorder known as maladaptive daydreaming. And this is where we get into the dangerous aspect of daydreaming. What was stated above was more so the different types of daydreaming. But this time, I'm going to be speaking about a certain type of daydreaming habit that people tend to go through that becomes a disorder. So, maladaptive daydreaming is when a person is having intense, vivid daydreaming that presents a story with character settings and plot lines by which they cannot control. So when this person is maladaptive daydreaming, they tend to just zone out of reality in a dissociative state and they're just here. They're not actually living in the real world. They're living in their fantasy world. And these daydreams oftentimes come to this person when they're being triggered by external stimuli. They oftentimes use these type of daydreams as a version of protection of potentially things that they had to run from. In this instant, oftentimes maladaptive daydreaming would come towards a person that has to dissociate from an abusive event, time period, or person, and when that stimuli comes to trigger them, they will start to daydream as a means of protecting themselves. The issues with maladaptive daydreaming is the fact that you aren't in reality. much of daydreaming and our imagination and the potential of visualization is only useful when we are able to utilize the contents of the vision. But if the vision are almost trying to be a substitute for reality and you're not actually utilizing the images, you're not actually utilizing the feelings that you get, you're not actually utilizing the energy that you're in, and you're not actually aware of the fact that you're co-constructing your reality based upon how much time you disconnect from reality, much of what a person feels and sees within this time period is not something that will benefit them, and it's not something that showcases itself to be healthy. And currently in society, many people are going around talking about the essence of needing to be delusional. And much of being delusional comes from what? Visions. Comes from what? Visualization. Much comes from what? Imagination. People are getting carried away with it. People are ultimately making it a fad to dissociate and continuously use these patterns and programs as a means to disconnect from society altogether. We can see it through social media. We see it through TikTok. We see it through how people speak about life events. We see how people talk about their goals and aspirations. Sometimes we perceive people as crazy for this reason, but I'm seeing now more than ever is not that people are crazy. No, not at all. It's more so people are sitting within an act and behavior they learned through childhood as a means to protect themselves. And because they never actually believed anything, and their imagination is the basis by which they believe certain things, versus when they're dissociating, it's not a belief system, it's a protective mechanism. Now we're talking about a group of people that have learned that dissociation is a byproduct of them using their imagination. And now their imagination is filled with all this content of their undeservings, what they do deserve, and it's all coming from a place of lack. People then are obviously coming from the space of calling it a delusion versus a belief. Because their imagination has been distorted with all this content of negativity based upon what they actually had to use their imagination for at a young age. I personally didn't have to use my imagination to protect myself as a child. I used my imagination to dream a big dream and to live a big life and to have things I desired and ultimately knew why I wanted those things, versus other people who tend to be within the confines of maladaptive daydreaming. They tend to use maladaptive daydreaming as a means to manifest, as a means to use visualization, but they're distorting their imagery because they're not actually healing. To heal is to know why you're doing the things that you're doing. If you don't know why you're doing the things that you're doing, you cannot possibly heal. So the last and final thing that I want to talk about is our ability and potential to control our daydreams. As I said above before, talking about the different types of daydreams, one can use those different daydreams as a way to calculate the amount of time you utilize your time and space to imagine things and how much that time and space is utilized towards these different types of daydreams. And not to mention, you also need to ask yourself how much time you even spend daydreaming based upon your conscious will. Are you visualizing or are you dissociating? And if you're dissociating, why are you dissociating? What triggers you to get to that space? Why is much of your time being spent in this space knowing that it's invoking certain emotions out of you? Those are the few potential ways I see one can be able to utilize and control daydreams and see the purpose in their daydreams. There's also much more that I can say that I'll be writing down, but in terms of the contents of right now, I can honestly say that one can only control that to which they believe they're in control of. If you don't feel like you're in control of your life, you're most likely going to disconnect from your life until you find the ways in which you can interact with life and honestly start little by little and seeing what you can put together. And then you'll start to be in a space where you don't need to dissociate and you don't need to daydream. But if anything, you use daydreaming as a way to boost your creativity, to work through problems, to take care of yourself even, and it's not inherently a negative thing. So with that being said, I hope that everybody has a lovely rest of their day, continues to shine bright, and enjoy your motherfucking life. Thank you.